Hello, friends. I want to do a brief introduction to the sermon since I preached it a couple of weeks ago. So much has changed. I want to take a moment to say that while peaceful protests are a beautiful thing, the destruction and the ugliness that happened in our nation's capital this past week is not. It is not how I think God wants us to be or to live. But in the middle of that, God was doing something powerful and important. I want to remind you of Scripture. I'm going to grab the Scripture sheet right here. From Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says this: "You've heard the law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And that way you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives sunlight to both evil and good, and he sends rain upon the just and the unjust. If you love only those who love you, how much reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind to only your friends, how different are you from anyone else? Even the pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect." We've chosen the topic of encouragement for many different reasons, but part of it's just the power of encouragement. I think it's especially important as a healing measure. Jesus tells us in that passage that we're supposed to love, especially and maybe even intentionally, those that we don't get along with, or in Jesus' words, that we hate. This week, as we began our week, we have a Monday staff meeting by Zoom, and I talked to the staff, and you could just tell it was hard. You were coming off the holidays and Christmas, and I really spent time focusing on encouraging them and asking them to encourage others. And a group of us as staff decided that we were going to just work on encouraging people this week. We were going to make it a focus. And amazing things happened when we did that. I want to share with you just one story that'll lead into the sermon. On Wednesday, I got a text from a Bethany person saying that they had gotten a box of food unexpectedly. They hadn't ordered it. It was a giant box of the pre-prepared, all the ingredients, but you have to make it kind of meals. And there was a lot of them. And they didn't need it. And they asked if there was somebody who could use it. I'm sitting in a meeting with Pastor Brenda when this happens, and I read the text and I'm thinking, God, we're in the middle of a week in which we're trying to intentionally encourage people who could use this. And I pause, and about 30 seconds later, a name comes to mind. And I text the person back and I say, yes, I think I have exactly the person that could bless. And please do that. And so literally 5 minutes later, the person who had these meals showed up at the church. Now, this was a Bethany person, and I was happy to see them. It's been a while since I've seen them. I was thrilled to just have an encounter in the parking lot where we got to, you know, say hi. I carried this giant box. It was about this big back with all the ingredients for all these meals in it, fresh ingredients. And I started to carry it into the kitchen to store it until we could get that person to come to the church and get it, let them know that it was available to them. And Pastor Brenda said, I'll call them. And I said, okay. And she thought maybe they could get to the church, you know, in an hour or so. And so I said, okay, great, let's do that. And so I carried the box back out into the lobby to store it out there until they came. And as we walk out from the fellowship hall into the lobby, there that person stood. We were astonished. And I walked up with this giant grin on my face and said, this is for you. And they said, what? And because it was big, and I, you know, kind of handed it to them. And I said, this is for you. And Pastor Brendan said, this is a whole box full of meals. You have to prepare them, but meals, and it's for you. And this person, they were just overwhelmed. And as they walked out the door with this unexpected gift, of course, they were unexpectedly there, I thought to myself, this was on Wednesday when I knew all the stuff was happening. Friends had been texting me about all the stuff happening in our capital, and here I was, and I didn't purchase those meals, and I didn't think it up, and I didn't dream up this idea, and I literally gave something that someone gave to me and handed it to somebody else in the span of 5 minutes. But I walked away with this sense, God really wants this to happen. And I had a renewed sense of joy and peace and encouragement, because there's not a lot that I can do about what's happening down in Washington, D.C. But there's a lot I can do to bless the people that I come in contact with and to encourage them. And God has challenged me so much this week, and really most of our staff, to say, how can we be intentional? How can we be thoughtful about not only planning to encourage others, but being open to those moments where He just has another plan beyond it all? And in the midst of that, that has filled my soul with joy, and I was reminded again that joy is the rocket fuel that keeps us going in life. The scripture says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so as we listen to this sermon today, remember the importance of encouraging each other. Hello, friends. Today we're starting a new sermon series on encouragement. We're going to be spending the next several weeks looking at encouragement and what it means and how we can build that into our lives. One of the verses that we're going to be focusing on throughout the series is a verse that Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll look at several verses later on in the sermon, but just to start out with, he says this in verse 11. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Encouragement. I want you to pause and to think for just a moment about how important encouragement is in your life. When you think about it, it's interesting that we as human beings, we're not really built to have the same emotionally high days every day, like a good day, like a 9 or a 10, day after day after day after day. That's not how we're really built. We have highs and lows, don't we? It's really what, for those of you that are a little bit older like me, it's what separates us from the character Spock in that famous series, is that Star Trek, is that we have feelings. And so most of us naturally feel different just waking up on a Monday than we do waking up on a Friday. Because Monday's the beginning of the week with all the stuff to do, and Friday is the end of the week where we know that the finish line is in sight and we can kind of put stuff down. And so the fact that we have those highs and lows means that encouragement plays an important role in who we are and how we interact and in what we do in life. And so I'm going to guess 25 years ago. I don't know exactly how long ago. I had lunch with a pastor. And he said to me, one piece of advice. He was retired. I asked if I could have lunch with him so that he could. He'd been through so much stuff. And I was just starting my ministry. And so I said to him, would you have lunch with me and just share with me something that's important about what you've learned in the course of ministry? And he said, yes, of course. So we sat down, and over the course of that lunch, he shared with me a number of things. One of them was, he said to me, do you have an encouragement folder? Now, I had been in ministry for, I don't know, 3 years by then, and I didn't. I didn't even really know what that was. I hadn't thought about it at all. And he says, you need an encouragement folder. I said, okay, say more. Tell me what that is. He said, just get a simple folder. And he said, I want you to get a folder, and I want you to put it in your filing cabinet, and when you get something in that encourages you, stick it in the file. So 25 years ago or so, I put this file, it's even torn up, it's pretty tattered, in my filing cabinet and began putting stuff in it. That's why it's so thick and such a mess. And to be honest with you, I don't go to it often. I don't turn to it a lot, but occasionally I do. And so in this series, as I'm thinking about encouragement and what encourages us, I thought to myself, well, I think a lot of people are encouraged by the notes that they receive. Now, let me just pause and say this. We're all different human beings. And because of that, we're shaped and created differently. And so God intended it that way. And as a result, not everybody's encouraged by the same thing. And so, you know, the people that made this set, they put together that little table in the back where just a few things. They grabbed some stuff in life that it kind of encouraged them. Things like the scripture and a card and prayer and family and special moments and our children. Maybe nothing on that table blesses you. Maybe everything does. I don't know. But one thing that I found is that a common thing, it's not always the case, but a common thing is that words of blessing, whether they're spoken or written, often bless the people around us. And I would say that's true for me too. And so I wanted, as an example today, to just pick this and talk a little bit about how important it is to encourage each other and to build each other up. And in a minute, I'm gonna walk through this folder and some of the stuff I found in it and share with you why it's important. But let me go back to the scripture for just a second. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 9, Paul writes this. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. God didn't save us so that he could tell us all the bad things we've done. Kind of rub it in our face. Does he want us to acknowledge it and confess it? Yes. And that's as much for us as it is for him. It's as much to know how much we need him and where we have not done what he's asked us to do, to acknowledge it and to even turn away from it, than anything else. But he didn't come to pour out his anger upon us. Christ died for us so that, listen to this, whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever. Christ died so that we could have a life starting now, right now, that was beautiful and that was impactful and that was full and that was on a road to who he wants us to be. See, as Christians, we sometimes think that when you become a Christian, it just becomes perfect. But this is a transformation process. I'm right now in the middle of this really interesting dynamic happening in my house. I don't know if you know, but I'm all grown up. I reached 5'6", maybe one time I was actually measured 5'6½ at the doctor's office. And I'm done. As a matter of fact, if anything, I'm going to start shrinking. But I have children in my house that are growing. And some of you have seen our Christmas card. You know that my son is taller. He's the tallest in the family. He's taller than me. He's taller than everybody. Right? And my children are emotionally, intellectually, physically, spiritually, they're in the middle of this enormous growth process as they move toward becoming adults. And that's such an enormous deal, right? But that transformation process doesn't happen overnight. Now, sometimes it seems like overnight they grow an inch, but it doesn't happen overnight. It actually takes years, right? Years. And that's true for us spiritually as well. As we live into what God has for us, how many of you know that God's tried to teach us the same lesson over and over again, and we just haven't gotten it yet? Right? So God is saying that he sent his son to die for us so that whether we're alive or dead, we can live with him forever. He said, so I want to just plant deep inside of you this notion of hope. That I'm going to be with you. The moment that you decide to walk beside me, I will be with you. And from that moment on, whether you're alive or not, we'll be together. What a beautiful concept, right? An encouraging one. And it's after that thought that Paul writes, so encourage each other and build each other up, just as you were already doing. Now, in some places in the Bible, God tells us how to do something, like love. There are so many examples of love in Scripture and teachings on love. 1 Corinthians 13 gives this long teaching on love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. If you're envying, it's not love. If you're boasting, it's not love, right? It doesn't seek itself, you know? It It always protects, always hopes, always endures, right? That's love. And so while it's a little, it doesn't feel warm necessarily when you read those words. If you said love is a hug, there would be a lot more people that go, oh, yes. But love is patient and kind. And it feels that way when we receive it. But the Bible doesn't say, here are seven things that you can do to encourage. It just says encourage each other. And I think that's in part because we have to explore this. We have to figure it out. He gives this to us because we are up and down creatures that need each other and that need encouragement, the lift that it gives. And each one of us has a little bit of a difference in terms of what blesses us. And we'll talk about that more later. But today I want to just focus on how words encourage us. Now the word encouragement, where he says encourage each other, it's actually two Greek words that are smashed together, right? It's para, which means alongside, literally come alongside. And the second Greek word, which actually means to call, kaleo, to call, right? So this is, it's similar to the word paraclete, which is actually, paraclete and the Greek word for encourage, paraclete is the Holy Spirit. And the Greek word for encourage is very close to that. They're derived from the same thing. But it's to come beside and to call to lift up close by. And so for us, that means that we have the ability to affect the state of another. Now, you know this, right? The state of another person and how they're doing and how they make it through their day, and even the trajectory of their lives, which is, well, that's so powerful. So when I went back to this folder, I found all kinds of stuff, and some of them are silly, like here's a beautiful card that's got a crab on it and some Old Bay, and it says snappy birthday, right? Just nice, right? But then there are other things inside of here that that have more meaning to them. This was given to me in October of 2000, and it was given to me by my church, the last church, the first year I was there, and it just says they're celebrating what a wonderful pastor I am, or was. It's nice to receive those things, right? I'll bet you have some things like this on your wall or in your home or something from work that said, congratulations, or thank you so much for the job that you did. And it feels good, doesn't it? The second thing that I pulled from this file folder was Tony Campolo, who was a famous author and speaker in some circles, taught at Eastern College in Philadelphia. Through a strange set of circumstances, actually ended up in one of my churches on one Sunday morning and was a part of the service and just wrote that he very much enjoyed the worship service and it blessed him. And then he just wrote me a note to tell me that that was the case. Certainly didn't have to, just a little gift of blessing. This one really encourages me. This was actually the surprise baby shower that a group of people gave to us when my daughter Sienna Mae, soon after we adopted her, she came home. That picture makes me smile every time I see it. And just the reminder of that moment when we got our first child and of all the memories of that and her beautiful face just do something to my heart even now. I love it. This is a card that the staff gave to me on my 50th birthday. They did a word art thing, words that came to mind about me that they put in here, and then they wrote their own little notes, you know, just that kind of thing. And finally, I have a whole stack full of cards like this, made homemade cards and other cards from people just saying words of encouragement along the way. Each one of those represents something different, you know, to me and my job, to me as a person, to me as a dad. I have things from my wife, little notes from my wife in there, in this folder, that all mean something. They do something to me. And so I say this because while it's beautiful to walk through this and talk about how this affects me, what I really want to talk about is how it affects others. Because we have the power through something as simple as a note or a text message or card to really affect somebody else. And do so in a powerful way. As I was walking through this file folder, I found another note that I want to lift up. This is the last one. It's handwritten and on a lined sheet of paper, which is what caught my attention. It's dated July 16th, 2009. It's written to me. It's written to me by a teenager. A year after this note, a little over a year after this note was written, she was killed in a tragic accident on her bicycle. And as I pull this note out, I, as I said, I haven't gone through this folder much. I noticed it and I saw the name at the bottom and I went, oh my, oh my. I remember doing her funeral. Still to this day, I remember I showed up at the hospital soon after she was pronounced dead. Yeah, it took a turn, right? And I read this note from this young teenager. To me and my family, a note of thanks and encouragement. And I was touched by it again, maybe even more deeply, because the first time I received it, I had no idea what would happen in the course of her life. But more importantly, I was in the middle, literally in the middle, of getting ready to tape this sermon when I found this. And I thought, I need to call her dad. Because I thought to myself, if my daughter had passed away and somebody had a handwritten note from her, I'd probably want to see it. So I texted him and, you know, I had him in my contacts, but I'm not sure that it's been 10 and a half years. We may have connected once or twice in that period after I left that area. And I said, I'm sure you're wondering why I'm calling. I have this encouragement folder that I was walking through and I found a note from your sweet little girl. And we both just kind of took a pause. This young lady was vibrant. She was full of life. She was kind of bouncy. And I said to her dad, "Would you like me to take a picture of this note and send it to you?" He said, "Yes. Yes, I would." And he texted me back and said, "Thank you, it sounds like her." You know, it reminded me in that moment how simple it can be to encourage somebody else. And how profound it can be to do so. And how when it's done at significant moments. Wow. Wow. You and I have been given the power and the ability by God to actually lift somebody's soul. We actually have the power to do the opposite as well, you know. We have the power to criticize and be ugly and nasty and critical and mean and mean-spirited and to tear down as we do, to uplift and to encourage and to love and to build up. And I'm not sure it's a lot more work to do one than the other. Now, I will say that there are some people that are naturally better at one than the other. But I'm not sure it's a lot more work. And so today I first want to take a moment to thank everybody in my life. This file only represents a small portion of the people in my life that have sought to encourage me. And I'd like you to take a moment to thank God for that. But more importantly, as we walk through these next 6 weeks, I'd like to ask you the question, what are you leaving in somebody else's folder? They don't need to have one of these. Maybe they don't. Maybe you don't. I've thrown away a lot of cards over the course of life. You know, I mean, if I kept every card, I wouldn't have enough space for it all. And maybe it's a good idea to start keeping some. Just to have them, to be surprised occasionally by them. But you and I have the ability to deeply impact people if we take the time by encouraging them. And today what I'm going to say is that if we start, just start by keeping it simple. See, that this is simple. You're one in a melon. And then just a simple note to say, I appreciate you. You and I have that power today, every day. And I want to encourage you, don't overlook it. It's free. It's there. It won't cost you a thing. Use it. Use it lavishly. Use it well. Encourage and build up those around you. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much. For whatever reason, you chose to make us creatures that have highs and lows. And not all of us are same in that either. Some of us seem to have really high highs and really low lows. And others of us are not. Don't have as broad a range, and so you made us wonderfully, and you created us with the ability to affect others in positive ways, and one of them is to encourage, to lift up, to help somebody to walk away feeling better about you, about the world, about themselves, about life, about your work among us. Help us, God, to be more faithful encouragers. In Jesus' name we pray, the words that Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.